everybody. Cal Banyan here. Cal Banyan's Hypnosis, etc. And if you're watching this video anywhere else except calbanyan.com, you want to go there right now because right below this video, right down there, there are extra text, extra graphics, extra links that just make this video more valuable to you. By the way, go there because there's over 200 free hypnosis training videos that you can watch anytime, anywhere in the world that there is an internet connection. And while you're there, become a VIP member. It's the best way. You'll instantly get access to a very orderly way to go through those different podcasts, videos, and all that kind of stuff. Plus, you get some insider tips, tricks, and techniques because you become part of our insider group. All right, let's see here. What have I got to do today? Oh, you know who I have with me today? Well, you know, we had Dr. Damon, and then we had Colonel Larry Ellman, son of Dave Ellman. And so we just had to do something to top all that off, to do something even better than that. So I have my co-host, L. Ron Ferguson. Let me tell you about L. Ron. He is a Hypno One percenter, among the best of the best in the profession. He really knows what he's doing. Champion of age regression, forgiveness work, all that kind of good stuff. He helps me train some of my certification courses, especially likes to teach instant inductions and stuff like that. How you doing, L. Ron?
I'm doing good, Cal. And it's good to be back.
It's been a long time.
I know. Hasn't it? I think it's been like 2 months, I think.
Yeah, you kind of got kicked off your cycle of doing podcasts.
I know. I've been so sad.
So what do you want to tell everybody now that you're back?
I don't know. What are we going to talk about today, Cal?
Controversy.
It's all about, well, and what's controversy? It's about opening up the can of worms. We're not trying to have the last word, but opening up the can of worms is so important for some good discourse, don't you think?
Okay, well, before we do that, let me just say congratulations to L. Ron here because while Dr. Damon was hanging around here doing the Solid Gold Weekend and coming to our office and checking it out, Dr. Damon, of course, is the president of the National Guild of Hypnotists. He got to rub elbows with L. Ron and got this idea. You see, even Dr. Damon watches our videos. I mean, they're that good. And he kind of likes this idea of hypnosis controversies, and he asked L. Ron and I to write a column in the National Guild of Hypnotists, and so this will be the first time L. Ron shows up in the journal. How do you feel about that, L. Ron?
I think it's great. I really do. I mean, it's really an honor to have the opportunity to be involved in something like that, and I really hope that it turns out well and we can, you know, generate some good ideas and talk about some good stuff.
I know we will. It's going to be kind of interesting because I'll be doing these podcasts with you on controversial topics, which are kind of, you know, everybody watching these videos, you understand that when we do these podcasts, they're not supposed to be complete trainings on the subject. It's more like just to get the subject out there, to get people talking about it and considering it. And when we write the articles, it's going to be a bit more organized, and perhaps we will take it a little bit further than we can in just our simple podcast. So there will be some overlap between some of the things that we do here and then some of the articles that we create in the for the Journal of Hypnotism. All right. Let me get a couple words in here before we get onto our controversial topics or topic for today. And I got a couple real quick commercial. Check my training schedule on hypnosiscenter.com. I've got the NGH-approved hypnosis certification super course. That's with 5-Path and 7-Path coming up in July. And that's July 11th through 22nd with the weekend off in the middle there somewhere. And then we have the Week of Power coming up May 15th to the 21st, all in 2011. And if you go and click on the links right below or go to hypnosiscenter.com, check out those classes. You are in time to get some early registration discounts. So don't hesitate. Go check out all the information. If you got questions, give our office a call. We'll be glad to answer your questions. Let's see. Is there anything else? Yes, you can take the courses over the internet. Did you know that? Live. Live, hands-on. You get to take the class. What you do is if you have a good internet connection, and I'll have my fellow Taylor check your internet connection out real good, make sure your computer and everything's working good, because our classroom is hardwired into the internet, and you can participate live from off-site certain limited number of people at a time can do that because we want to make sure the bandwidth is good so that you have a good experience. And you are going to receive the supervision just like all the other students. You'll get practice time just like all the other students. It's the next best thing to being there live and in person. And if you can't do that, check out, we also have certification by way of DVD. Okay, that's it. Follow me on facebook.com/hypnosis, etc. and twitter.com/CalBanyan. All right, what's our first topic for today?
I don't know, you tell me, Cal. And I feel so bad, I forgot to introduce you. Next time, we're going to do it even better. But just for starters, I mean, for those of you that don't know, and hopefully you do know, I mean, if you're on this site and you're watching it on here, you've got a basic idea. Number one, Cal is one of the most fantastic, successful hypnotherapists that there is in this country, I know, for sure. And in my opinion, he's one of the greatest living contributions to the world of hypnosis that's still around today, obviously, inferred by the word living. And he synthesized 5-Path and taught me just about everything I know that works. So thanks, Cal.
You're welcome. All right, with no further ado, what the heck are we talking about today? You came in with a favorite topic.
Yeah, I want to talk about should we do therapy in class? That is, should we do demonstrations that are maybe age regression oriented in class? Should the students who come to our trainings do therapy on each other or uncovering work on each other? And what do we mean by therapeutic work? Let's just get into this topic and dissect it a little bit and talk about it.
Okay. You know what? And when I was first, when I knew in the profession, I just loved to go to talks and demonstrations and where the instructor would get someone up there and start doing work on one of the people from the audience. And then as I began to consider how I was going to put my classes together, I reviewed in my mind how that really went for those instructors. And we really, from an ethical point of view, whenever we begin to use the techniques that we know, particularly uncovering techniques like age regression, forgiveness work, parts mediation, I just think we're entering into a therapeutic kind of relationship with someone, or let me say at least a professional relationship with someone. And this is the deal. I've seen those demonstrations go so wrong. And here's some of the reasons they can go wrong. One, you could just not be able to demonstrate what you want to demonstrate. It could just, you had in mind as an instructor that you want to demonstrate a certain thing, and the pseudo client person from the class, they just don't have the issue that you really thought you're going to work on, or somehow they're unwilling to do the work once it gets started, and it just can be a waste of everybody's time. Much worse than that, though, is when we ask for volunteers to do uncovering work, and that's where stuff is brought out that the client or student in the classroom isn't aware is in there, then you have to ask yourself, are they really able to give consent? Because they don't know what they're consenting to. They might say, oh yeah, I have this problem with biting my nails. And you say, no problem, I know exactly what to do. I'd like to use it for a demonstration. And then you go into the age regression and you go to some extremely embarrassing time from the past that the person, the protective part of their mind has totally blocked that out, and they were not aware of it at all. And so now they've volunteered to be in the class. You do the age regression. You go back to that terribly embarrassing or frightening experience, and one of two things could happen. One is they could just refuse to reveal it, and that because of the audience or because of the cameras. And in that case, you know, that's bad all around. But even worse, the person could Sometimes when you're doing hypnotherapy with someone, you're doing age regression, they can kind of forget that there's an audience and that there's cameras going and that kind of thing, and just totally revivify an experience. Then you can begin to work with them as you planned. But then afterwards, this is where I think that we really have to reconsider doing any kind of live uncovering type hypnosis work, because now the person emerges and they go, oh right, I'm in class, I'm getting videotaped or whatever, and this person now is crushed emotionally because they're embarrassed, that, you know, maybe they had some standing in the community and now you've uncovered that, you know, they some embarrassing thing, like, I don't know, having a dirty having gone to the bathroom in their pants when they're in the first grade or something, and something very embarrassing, or, you know, you can imagine all the embarrassing things that can happen to children. And now they are crushed, they're embarrassed professionally in front of that group of people. It's just terrible. And another reason why I think it's not very good is that I think it's very selfish on the trainer's part to ask someone to be a demonstration like that if they do not have the ability to ensure that they'll be able to work with that individual to completion of the problem. I mean, to have someone come up and, for example, do age regression, find the embarrassing event, and then, you know, get that can of worms opened up, as Elrond was saying, and then not be able to work them through the entire problem because there's only so much time for the demonstration or whatever, is completely irresponsible, completely unprofessional, and, in my opinion, unethical. So, and I would extend all of that to the idea of practicing on each other in class, doing therapeutic work, because having students work on each other in class and uncovering therapeutic work has all the problems that I just mentioned, except it's made worse because of the relationship of being classmates rather than, you know, the professional hypnotherapist working with the client. And when you get the whole, you know, if you're just working with one person and you get them all embarrassed and now they're having trouble concentrating, can you imagine if you did that to the whole class where everybody was uncovering this stuff in the past and they're getting embarrassed and frustrated and, you know, working on each other. And certainly when you're first new at this kind of work, you're not going to do the best work. And now you've got a whole class of people who their brains are just scrambled because they're working on that kind of stuff. So I think that having each other in class work on each other is also a terrible idea. What do you want to add to that, Elrond?
So many things.
I mean, I could go on for a whole hour.
Yeah, I know. There's a myriad of problems that come up with that. I mean, I experienced it directly in some hypnotherapy training that I attended back in the day, where all of a sudden we're doing, somebody's having an age regression done on them in front of class for, I think, a nut allergy, and about 5 minutes later she's screaming bloody murder, and I'm talking like bloody murder in front of the class. If English isn't your first language, that means that's just a figure of speech that we use for screaming really, really loud as if you're going to die or something like that. And it rattled pretty much everybody. And the problem is that since we had been there for a period of time and we'd been doing therapy on each other, everybody's boundaries were completely collapsed. Everybody was having so much transference with each other and completely enmeshed. And at the time, there was this attitude where, oh, well, you know, that's okay to do, it's healing, it's, we're all in this together, what a beautiful thing. But a few weeks later, after I snapped out of it myself, even at the time, come on, what am I talking about, 24 hours later, I thought, I don't know if that's really the best thing. In fact, I know that can't be good. because, number one, all the things that you said, Cal, it not being professional, that sort of thing. But number two, I think for the client's own subconscious mind, and what do you think about this? I want to know your two cents. What do you think about that client's own ability to have an insight that's lasting when they're in an environment like that in front of a bunch of people and they might be embarrassed themselves? What is going to be the therapeutic value that they're going to really glean from a session like that that can be permanent when it's in that kind of environment? What do you think about that?
Well, it boils down to, you know, if they're willing to go along with the process, kind of forget that everybody's there, then it should have an effect that's similar to one-on-one individual sessions. But of course, there's always the possibility that the protective part of them will say, "Hey, I'm not going there," and so then it just makes everybody look bad.
Right. Or when they emerge, let's say they did forget everybody was there, and when they emerge, they take a look around, they start to think back on it. And then all the suggestions just begin to unravel after the session. Wouldn't you say that's also possible?
Well, okay, it depends on the quality of the work that was done. Because insight work, when done right, under any circumstance, once someone knows something that they didn't know before, it will have, the mind adjusts to the new knowing. And so I think that it shouldn't have that great of an effect. If someone is properly trained to use the segue, so that they give suggestions that are consistent with what has just been learned in the insight work, then that should not be contaminated either. I'll be open to the idea that it could weaken it, but I don't think it would be that much.
I could buy that. So basically the thing is, if you're going to do therapy in front of class as an instructor, you better be pretty damn good and at least help that person with the work that you do get a chance to do. I mean, another problem with that is that a lot of times it's kind of like the bait and switch. Maybe that's the right way to put it, but people say they come to the class or the school, and this happens a lot because everybody does it. Not everybody does it. Let me retract that. There's some NLP schools, some hypnotherapy schools that do that, where they come there for hypnosis, and then all of a sudden, everybody's doing therapy on each other all the time, and to the more conservative person, or the person who has a better head on their shoulders or is really there because they want to learn a skill and bring it to application as a professional, they're thinking, wait a minute, what's this? I came here to learn hypnosis, not to work on myself. If I wanted to do personal growth, I would have gone to a personal growth seminar, or I would have gone to a healing seminar, or like a yogi retreat healing seminar that specializes in everybody massaging everybody and holding each other down and doing a grief ritual and stuff like that. If I wanted to do that, I would have done that. I thought I was here for hypnosis training to get a career and learn how to help others. Why are we working on this stuff? Wouldn't you think that's also a component, Cal?
Sure, I'll buy that.
Okay.
Well, why don't I just go ahead and let you wrap this topic up with what you think there is to think about it, and because, gosh, we're almost 20 minutes.
Really?
Yep.
Time flies when you're having fun.
You didn't start your timer?
I didn't start. Come on.
I think part of your brain is still over on their Highway 55.
Yeah, it is. It is. I was really frustrated in traffic today, but I'm perfectly comfortable with that. You know, I have not come to the place where I'm carrying a pocket full of change that I throw out my window yet. Hopefully that won't happen.
Nobody's going to understand that.
Inside joke. I think it's funny. On the other side of this issue, you might hear people say stuff like, well, you know, it depends. It depends on the class size, or it depends on how it's framed, or it depends on the consciousness level of the people that come to the class and the mutual agreement that we all have to heal each other, and it depends on the maturity of the soul. And, you know, arguments are going to come for still being able to do that because it's been done for a really long time. I mean, even the late Gil Boyne, he was, you know, famous for having those one session wonders in front of class where he got all into people's stuff. I mean, heavy into their stuff. And then talked about it in front of 50 to 100 people. And so I think it's something that'll definitely stick and stay. I don't think it's going to change anytime soon. But all in all, if you are thinking of going to a school like that or doing that yourself or being involved in that, you want to think about what those professional boundaries are and what they really mean and the implications that are involved in that. And also just think critically about it as much as you can about what's really going on when you start to do uncovering work especially. Now, it's not to say that you can't run other processes on people that will take them into perhaps an altered state of consciousness, like maybe ultra-height or ultra-depth, or maybe direct suggestion on each other. That is possible to do because it's necessarily non-emotional. People might have an ab reaction, but it has nothing to do with uncovering things and digging into somebody's old memories and having them revivify and relive traumatic experiences or experiences that could have them feeling rattled after the fact. Is there anything you want to add before I wrap it up, Cal?
No, I think that's kind of the stuff I wanted to say. I think you kind of wrapped. Are you done with that topic?
Unless there's something you want to add, I'm done.
All right. Hey, you guys, you're watching this. Elrond and I, we reserve the right to change our mind on these things when confronted with new information. Please leave a comment below. Either you agree, you disagree, that's fine. We just want to hear from you. And a couple of other little quick things. By the way, we just started something new. Yesterday was Welcome Home Vets Day. And what I decided to do is we're going to give a 20% off discount for all military, American military vets and active duty people who want to take our live courses. We don't know how long we're going to do that, but if you want to take advantage of that, call our office, figure out which class you're interested in, and it's just our way of thanking you for your service. And also, you guys, you hear us talk about 7-Path Self-Hypnosis. There's a brand new version of our website up. www.7thpathselfhypnosis.com. That's 7-T-H-P-A-T-H selfhypnosis.com. Now, on there, we can actually learn some of 7-Path for free. So go there. I've got a couple of videos where I teach you how the 7-Path technique and the first recognition. Good way to get your feet wet to see if you want to continue learning 7-Path. All right, wrap it up.
Thanks for watching this podcast. I hope that you got some value out of it and it got the wheels turning for you, because that's what this is all about. If you want to know more about what we do, take a look at our websites, hypnosis.org, hypnosiscenter.com. We'd love to have you comment below or email us and ask us questions or give us topics or things that you think that we should talk about or things that you think that we should bring up and bring to light and dive into. Please pass them along. Thanks for watching. I'm Elrond Ferguson, signing off.
All right, excellent. And remember, we're not lawyers. We're not giving out legal advice. Use common sense and always put the practice of hypnotism first along with your clients. That's it. Cal Banyan, signing off. This recording is the property of Cal Banyan and Cal Banyan's Banyan Publishing Incorporated. All rights reserved, for private use only, may not be duplicated without written permission.